Let's bring in Ned Colletti. He's senior advisor to the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Good morning, Mr. Colletti.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
So I got to tell you, I am, and I'll admit first and foremost, I don't, you know, I don't see a lot of Dodgers games. They're on the West Coast, obviously, and I get up early, don't see a lot of Dodgers games. But I have seen them in the postseason, and I admit, I knew Corey Seager was good. I had no idea about Justin Turner. I thought the pitching, you know, pitching was good. I knew that. But I have to tell you one thing, Ned. I can't say enough about how impressed I am with Dave Roberts and how he's running this thing right now.
Well, Dave Roberts, I think, is the manager of the year in this league. You know, there's a lot that goes into managing, and when you take over a big market team that's won three straight divisions and has got massive expectations, you really start with a new coaching staff by and large, guys that he kind of knew through the game but didn't know firsthand, and players that he kind of knew from the game and watching from across the dugout in San Diego but really didn't know firsthand. And what he's been able to do, missing Kershaw for 75 days, I think it's been phenomenal. And the way these guys play, they play like he played.
Mm-hmm. You
know, they play all out every day. And I do a lot of TV out here now, and so I see his interviews every day, and I'm around him a lot. He's always got a positive persona to him. And you know it's not that type of sport where you're always going to be positive behind closed doors. And so I think he does his work with the players that he needs to do one-on-one. But when he walks out of that office, everything is great. And yep. He continues to have that mantra.
Yeah, now, this time around, what are you seeing different with Clayton Kershaw? I know he's added that slider, which to me, when you watch him with that 12-6 hook that he's got and then the fastball command. But the little slider, the tight slider that he has, it looked exactly like his fastball. To me, this time around, the playoffs has taken him to the next level. Are you seeing that too?
Well, no doubt that the three pitches being upper echelon type of pitches, because he's got great command of all them, certainly helps him. I think he's learned along the way, too. And if you look back, everybody made a big deal about his postseason record prior to really kind of last year. And you know, well-deserved, so to speak. But it's kind of interesting because St. Louis was really the team that took it to him. And you go back to the LCS in 13, he made two starts against the Cardinals, lost them both. Then he has a season where he goes 21-3. Then he gets back to the postseason in a division series against the Cardinals, pitches against them both, loses to them both times. So you got bookend losses against the Cardinals, a pair of them, and 21-3 in the middle of it. So some of it may have been St. Louis's approach. Some of it may have been they're very sharp. St. Louis, a very sharp organization. Maybe they picked something up in his delivery, especially out of the stretch with runners, left-handed hitters up. So there's all sorts of different theories to it. That he does have the pitch ability that he does with the pitches is certainly some of it. I think it's experience, too. And I think there's a lot of different things that have led into it. Plus, I think he has such expectation for himself. I've been around a lot of players in a lot of sports for a lot of years. And his work ethic and his talent and his passion to compete, I may know guys equal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody who exceeds it. So there's a lot that goes on with him. But you know, you make up a good point that there is the pitchability, especially with the little cutter he's got. It's rough. It's rough on especially right-handed hitters.
You know, a lot of us know how good Corey Seager has been all year. I mean, you know, picking him a rookie of the year was a pretty easy call. But Are you getting the sense, Ned, that maybe this postseason, I don't think the guy's needed a coming out party, but that he's, you know, you look at the Cubs and everybody's been talking about the Cubs since opening day and all the Cubs good young players and everything like that. Do you think Corey Seager is kind of looking at this series as a bit of a personal challenge?
Well, I think he looks at everything as a personal challenge. I don't know many players like him at his age that have had the composure that he's always carried with him on the field, off the field. A few years ago, he made the Futures game.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him to give him the heads up that he was going to make the team. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you got a chance to be a tremendous player. Do not let this be the end. This is just the beginning. And when I talked to him, even as a 19-year-old, the conversation was not the typical GM player conversation. Certainly not the typical GM 19-year-old highly touted prospect conversation. And I think he takes everything in a very calm way. He slows the game down. This kid came here going to be the big league shortstop on a team that won three straight divisions, going to hit in the middle of the order and going to play in the middle of the field in front of 45,000 people every night and never miss a beat. So the national recognition is starting to come now because it is the postseason. A little bit maybe as I look at the series out of Toronto and Cleveland, I look at Lindor kind of the same way. People are starting to – maybe they didn't pay attention to him before, but now they're starting to see him come around. I think it's how you measure a lot of players and how their brand and their expectation and their career grows from one coast to another, from one country to another, is in the postseason.
In conversation with Ned Colletti on Baseball Central, you know, the Cubs in the past couple of years when they made those trades for position players, they went after guys. They went after, I think at one point they had four or five shortstops in the organization, guys who were going to be converted from that position. You know, you talked about Seager. We've seen Lindor here. It seems, Ned, that as you look around baseball, every team, every good team has a real good shortstop. Some of them have really good young shortstops. When did this... I mean, I understand we had Ripken, we had, you know, obviously Jeter, Rodriguez. There have always been great shortstops. But are we kind of going back to the point now where this is becoming a real marquee position and our teams kind of drafting that way? You know, looking at guys who play shortstop and thinking, hey, we've talked about how this has become a young man's game. Most of the guys, if you're going to be play shortstop in college or in high school and are good enough to get drafted, you're a phenomenal athlete, let's start going after a lot of shortstops. And if we have to move a guy to another position, I'll take my chance in moving a guy who can play shortstop into the outfield compared to a guy who, I don't know, was a high school first baseman and having to do something with him.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I think when you draft a shortstop, a lot of times they're going to end up being converted to a second baseman because of the arm strength and because of the speed of the game as it gets higher up towards the big leagues. You've also had a ton of international signings that are shortstops. Mm-hmm. I always felt if you could find a shortstop, somebody who at least knew how to play the position, you were getting somebody that could play almost any place else on the field because of the intellect it takes to play the position. It's almost like a musician. They say if you learn how to play the piano, you can play almost any other instrument. It's like the fundamental base of music. Same thing, I think, in shortstop. And I think that when you get a shortstop, you're talking about somebody who's ultra-athletic, who's really one of the captains of your defense, captain on the field along with your catcher. And I think it bodes well to draft those players, sign them internationally, and develop them as far as you can develop them, because there's always going to be a need for that type of player. You're kind of buying at the high, and you're going to be able to trade off or play at the high because of the value of the position. And right now, you're right. There's a lot of really good young shortstops that are in the game, and sometimes that goes through phases. But there's a slew of them. You look at almost every team, and there's somebody of prominence standing at that position.
Yeah, now, whenever I think of the Dodgers, and I have to get your thoughts on this guy, I don't think of Justin Turner. But the more I watch the Dodgers, the more I'm going to have to start thinking about him. He just seems like, you know, not the most athletic guy. He's not going to make the spectacular play all the time, but he looks very smart to me. He goes up and hunts a certain pitch. He gets it. He doesn't miss it. He plays the right position, meaning he stands in the right spot where the ground ball that he gets is that much easier to catch. Tell me what kind of player and what kind of person Justin Turner is.
He was I'm really proud of what he's been able to accomplish. He grew up in Long Beach, played at Cal State Fullerton. Great baseball, great school and great baseball tradition there. I think he went to Baltimore early and then was with the Mets. And I signed him 3 years ago. I had had great utility guys. I had Jerry Hairston and Skip Schumacher, Nick Punto, Michael Young for a couple months near the end of his career, and I wanted to get a little bit younger. And we always liked Justin's ability to hit. We weren't necessarily enamored with the defense, but we knew that the kid could hit. We knew that he was a local kid who understood what it meant to be a Dodger. And when we signed him, we waited and waited it out during the wintertime. Actually signed him to a minor league contract. And then he said, a minor league contract, you know, I got to get a big league deal. I said, are you healthy enough to play? He said, absolutely. I said, you're going to make the team. I said, you got to be you got to break down almost physically not to make this team. We handpicked the guys. You're handpicked. And little by little, he has really become a great player. He studies hard. He works hard. I think his diligence in the off season has been heightened far more than it was early in his career. As guys get older and they mature and they understand what it takes to be not just good, but great, bordering on great, some guys take that path. Some players don't, but I think he really dedicated himself in the offseason to staying healthy, getting stronger, being more aware of his surroundings, both defensively, because he's become a really good third baseman. In this league, if we don't have Arenado at Colorado, who's tremendous, this guy would end up winning a Gold Glove. He's that good on a daily basis. We had no idea he could do that, but he's worked his way into doing that. And a lot of players get made, I believe, during the offseason. That is when they can, when everybody else is taking a vacation, where they can work and become better at their craft when somebody else isn't. And years ago, as Jeff, you remember, and you too, Mark, that guys used to go to winter ball all the time.
Right.
And I can remember in the 80s and the 90s, a lot of domestic players from Canada, from the U.S., would go down to the DR, Venezuela, Mexico, and kind of refine their craft. And suddenly, when they came back, they were better players. I think Justin Turner obviously hasn't gone to winter ball, but he has refined his craft in the offseason and taken it serious. He's also started to develop into one of the rarest traits in the game for me, and that's leadership. It is so hard to find great leaders in the sport today. And he has become one of the main guys on that club. Chase Utley's been terrific. And Chase Utley, I think, has helped bring a lot of lieutenants like Justin Turner up another notch. But this guy's not only got power, not only hits in the middle of the lineup, not only plays really, really good defense and smart, but he's become somebody that is a leader inside that room.
Ned, it was great to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me on today. Always love Canada, love Toronto.